Please bow your heads for the prayer of illumination. Gracious God, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. Make us hungry for this heavenly food, that it may nourish us today in the ways of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Amen. The Old Testament reading today is Psalms 23. It's found on page 501 of your pew Bible. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, David. Our New Testament lesson, gospel lesson today, is taken from John's Gospel, John chapter 10. We'll be reading from verses 22 through 39, which you may find on page 104, the pew Bible in front of you. Let's stand for the gospel lesson. We read here, at that time, the festival of the dedication, which we know as Hanukkah, took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus replied, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these are you going to stone me?" The Jews answered, "It's not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, though only a human being, are making yourself God." Jesus answered, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'?" That's from the Psalms. "If those to whom the word of God came were gods, and the scripture cannot be annulled, can you say that the one whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world is blaspheming because I said, 'I am God's son'? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father." And then they tried to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. I read this week of one Sunday morning following a Sunday service, a layman was coming through the receiving line and he accosted his pastor. He said, "Tom," he said, "you know what? I've decided I don't think I can come to this church because I realize I've been insulted by coming to this church." And the pastor was really taken aback and he said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, at the end of every call to worship, it says that we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And I've heard many ministers refer to us as God's flock." And I have to tell you, this week I went to the Chicago stockyards and I realized that sheep are about the dumbest animals on earth. In fact, they're so dumb they will follow other sheep right to slaughter. He says pigs aren't that dumb, and I would be insulted if you called me a pig. So by calling me a sheep, I am very insulted, and I am not coming back to this church. Now, the guy had a point, didn't he? The Bible is very clear. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. And it's only logical to assume that if the Lord is our shepherd, that means we are the sheep, right? So what would you say to this guy? How would you respond if you were the pastor? You know what I would say? If the shoe fits. I would say, brother, it's true. Sheep are some of the dumbest animals on earth. In fact, as I mentioned a couple Sundays ago, they are so dumb that when they get lost, they not only not know how to find their way back, they're so dumb half the time, they don't even know they're lost. That's how dumb they are. But guess what? I know a lot of people that way. I do. And let's be honest, there are a lot of people in the world just like that. They are lost and they don't even know it. Indeed, that's the hardest obstacle of communicating the good news of the gospel. Before you can communicate the good news of the gospel, you have to first communicate the bad news of the gospel, which is we're sinners and we're separated from God and we need a reconciler. But if people don't even know they're lost, how can you convince them that they need to be found? That's the problem, isn't it? Indeed, some people are so lost, they don't even know they're lost. And that's a big problem. But the Bible doesn't pull any punches. It doesn't sugarcoat the problem. In fact, it was Isaiah the prophet who said, which Handel's Messiah incorporated, that we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've all gone our own way. And that's our nature as human beings. We have gone our own way, have turned our backs on God, on His love, on His will, on His ways. And we, like the prodigal son, have gone off to a far country. And we are lost. Indeed, we are so lost, we don't even realize we're lost. And that's one reason why the Bible employs so many metaphors regarding sheep and shepherds. No, but really, the English word for pastor, we all know, it means minister, clergyman, church leader. But of course, in Spanish, it's much easier to discern the origin of that word because pastor in Spanish literally means what? Shepherd. So a pastor is a shepherd. How many of you have seen a bishop in the Episcopal tradition or the Catholic tradition with a little crook? What is that? That's a shepherd's crook because he's a shepherd of the flock. Amen. Now, early in our chapter today, in chapter 10, Jesus makes two references to this shepherd metaphor, two I am statements. You know, there are seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. Remember when Moses was out in the wilderness and he wanted to know God's name? What did God say? I am who I am. Seven times Jesus says in the Gospel of John, I am. In chapter 6, he says, I am the bread of life. Chapter 8, he says, I am the light of the world. Here in chapter 10, he says, I am the door, and then he says, I am the good shepherd. Both of those are pastoral references. We'll get to the first one a little bit, but for now, I am the good shepherd. Jesus says he's the shepherd, so that means we're the sheep. And one of the attributes of a good shepherd, that is a good leader, is someone who knows his sheep. He knows their needs. He knows their identity. He knows their uniqueness. He knows their name. In men's breakfast this week, we were discussing some of the attributes of a good leader. One of those attributes is a good leader knows his followers. He knows them by name, knows their concerns, right? That's important. We read how Napoleon, who was not the greatest person morally, but was inarguably one of the greatest military leaders of all time. Do you know what one of his secrets was? How he engendered so much loyalty? When they were in camp between battles, he would walk around at night and he would talk to his many, many officers and he knew them all by name. He knew the details of their family life. He knew the battles that they had fought and won and he would discuss them with them and he would build this bond of loyalty because he knew his followers. That's important. We have learned that the definition of leadership, you know what it is? Influence. Influence. If you're not influencing people, you're not a leader. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have a title. That doesn't mean you don't have a position. That doesn't mean you don't have a status. That doesn't mean you're not getting a paycheck for being a leader. But if you're not influencing people, then you are not leading people, folks. You failed. One way to influence people is to show them that you care. For as the saying goes, people don't really care what you know until they know that you care. And that's true. That works. That's the kind of servant leadership that Jesus modeled. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. I know them. And they follow me. See how that works? What a contrast to the false shepherds of Israel who did not know their sheep, who were more concerned about their position and their title instead of caring for their flock. Thus, Jesus represents a revolutionary break from that tradition. He puts a new word in the lexicon of leadership, and it's servant leadership. What an innovation. Servant leaders care about their followers. You know, there's an amazing story that come out of the Wycliffe Bible translators. Are you familiar with the Wycliffe Bible translators? They're these crazy people called by God who go out into these obscure tribes, sometimes in the Amazonian jungle, and they live there 10, 20, 30 years learning the language of these obscure tribes, putting them down phonetically, and then translating the New Testament into their tribal language. It takes a lifetime to do this. It's amazing. One translator, Lee Bramlett, worked with an obscure tribe in Cameroon in West Africa, the Hadi people. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. But in studying their language, he discovered a curiosity about their language that every verb either ends with an A, an I, or a U. An A, an I, or a U. Every verb, except one verb. Love. The root word for love is DV. So you can DV somebody or DVA, but never DVU. They never have a U at the end. You following this? I should have a board up here, right? So he got the tribal leaders together, his translation team, and he asked them about this. He said, can I DVI someone, DVI? And they said, oh, yeah. He said, well, what's that mean? Well, you can DVI your wife. That means you used to love her, but you don't love her anymore. Apparently, that's the preterite tense. Well, he said, can you diva somebody? He goes, yeah, you can diva your wife as long as she continues to cook for you, care for you, provide conjugal rights for you. You can diva for her. You can love her that way. A conditional love. This is a very male-oriented society, if you haven't guessed. And then he asked them, can you divu your wife? And they said, oh, no, no way. He said, why not? He said, well, that would mean you would have to keep loving your wife if she stopped cooking for you, if she stopped caring for you, if she had committed adultery. That would mean you would still have to love her. And we don't even have that word in our vocabulary. The missionary couldn't help but think of God's love for us. So he asked the tribesmen, he said, could God divu you? They were silent. They thought about that. And then tears started to come down their weathered, wrinkled faces as they realized that's how God loves them, despite who they are, despite what they've done, that God loves them unconditionally. Guess what word they introduced in the New Testament translation for God's love? That's how God loves us. That's how the shepherd cares for us. He knows us by name. He loves us even though we're unlovable. He loves us while we are yet sinners. He loves us while we were enemies, while we were hostile. He loved us. He sought us out. He found us. He has relationship with us. He is our shepherd. That's good news. That's what the Bible says. But listen to what comes next. He says the sheep listen to his voice. The relationship between the sheep and the shepherd is not one-sided. This is our part. God loves us through Christ, the shepherd, but we must respond in obedience. And we as human beings have the capacity to do that. Do you know that? We have the capacity to discern the word and the voice of God. We do. In our heart, in our life, in our mind, in directing our lives. It can happen by reading his word, by hearing his word, by worshiping him, by talking to him, by praying unto him. We can develop the ability to hear his voice. Now, I know you're thinking there are a lot of wackos out there who claim to have heard the voice of God and do horrific things, even as we witnessed this last week, who these individuals no doubt believed what they were doing was from the voice of Allah himself. What do we say to that? Well, we say that you can know it's not the voice of God if it contradicts the word of God, the written word of God, and certainly if it contradicts the word become flesh, which is Jesus. For Jesus told us that you can take all of the commands of God and boil them down to one command, which is the command of love, to love God and love your neighbor. And if the voice of God is telling you to do something contrary to a life of love, then that is not the voice of God. You can be certain. But that's not to say that God can't speak to us. He can. That's one of the secrets of the Christian life, isn't it? In fact, how many of you had the experience that you get a phone call out of the blue from some friend, some childhood friend that you haven't even thought about for years, that you haven't spoken to in decades, and since that time you've heard hundreds of thousands of other voices that you can identify, but within two words, you can identify the identity of that long-lost friend from some inflection or nuance of their voice. Have you ever had that experience? Like, it's immediate. That's an amazing ability. Computers are now just catching up to us in terms of voice recognition. But that's how it is. We have the capacity to discern the voice of God when he speaks to us, if we listen. But that's the problem, isn't it? You see, the problem isn't so much hearing the word of God, it's obeying the word of God. God has been speaking to many of you this week. God has perhaps been speaking to you even now in this place. But the question is, are you listening? Not only are you listening, are you willing to obey what you know he's telling you to do? That's the issue, isn't it? My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Even dumb sheep can hear the voice of the shepherd. Read a true story of a man in Australia who was arrested for stealing a guy's sheep. Happens a lot in Australia, I think. And they arraigned him in court, charged him with theft. He claimed, the defendant, that he did not steal the man's sheep, that that was his sheep, that it had wandered off, and he was merely recovering his own property, and he was therefore innocent. So they brought them before a judge with the plaintiff and the defendant, and the judge couldn't make a decision. So you know what the judge decided to do? He said, bring in the sheep. Exhibit A. They brought the sheep into the courtyard, and he told the accuser to go outside of the court and call the sheep, which he did. And the sheep looked up and in fear just stood there frozen. Called the man back in. Sent the defendant out into the courtyard and said, call the sheep. And he called the sheep and the sheep looked up and made it to the door. Judge called him back in and said, the sheep knows the man's voice. Case closed. Get out of here. Get out of my court. Pretty cool, huh? You see, the good shepherd knows his sheep. That's number one. Number two, the sheep know the shepherd's voice and follow accordingly. And the reason they feel the unction to follow the shepherd is because they know that the shepherd will protect them and watch over them. Isn't that what Jesus says in verse 28? No one can snatch them from my hand. No one. No one can snatch them from my Father's hand. You're in good hands. And that's the third thing we need to see. Indeed, as I said earlier, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. But he also said, I am the gate, the door. That's also a pastoral reference. Did you know that? Do you know, back in the day of Bible times, if you were a shepherd out in the wilderness and darkness was falling and you had a flock, what you would do before darkness fell is you'd get rocks and you'd get brush and you would put a little enclosure there out in the wilderness, and you'd leave an opening, and then you would herd the sheep in so that they could be close and comfortable. And then you know what you would do as the shepherd? You would lay across the opening. You would be the door. Therefore, if any animal came to maul those sheep or any robber came to steal those sheep, they would have to walk over you. You, the shepherd, because you were the door. And as the door, you're protecting them. And that's what Jesus is saying here. I'm protecting you. I'm the door. No one's going to snatch you out of my hand. You're mine. You're my flock. You don't need to worry. I've got it covered. I'm the door. They've got to pass through me. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. He is the very medium of creation. You don't mess with Jesus. Right? That's good news. Amen. That's good news indeed in a society of violence where you're in your own bed and you get robbed. How horrible is that? That happened to Rosa. Or how horrible it is to live in a society of violence where we have over 1,000 homicides a year here on this island. Or how horrible is it to live in a world where people take homemade bombs and they blow up innocent people at a sporting event? What is that about? What are they thinking? And it makes us insecure, afraid, fearful. But here's good news. No matter what happens to you, no matter what happens to you and me, even death itself, nothing, no one can snatch us out of his hand. We are his forever, for eternity. Nothing can change that. In closing, I read a great story this week. Took place back in the 1850s when they had itinerant Methodist preachers out in the prairie, the frontier. And this preacher came to a certain family, a little log cabin. They had a little boy named Timmy that he had heard had diphtheria, which was deadly. So he went to minister to Timmy. He said, Timmy, do you know any scriptures? Do you know the Lord's, the Psalm 23? He said, yes, Pastor, I do. I learned that in Sunday school. He said, that's great, Timmy. He said, would you recite it for me? And Timmy started to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But the preacher said, wait a minute. Timmy, you're going too fast. You know it, but you know it by rote. I want you to really think about what you're saying. I want you to number the words. Okay, Timmy? The Lord is my shepherd. Whoa. The fourth word, the fourth finger, that's the ring finger. That's the finger of love. I want you to emphasize that. The Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. Timmy really liked that. Minister went off on his route. A couple weeks later, he circled back. As he approached the little cabin there, he noticed out front there was a mound of earth with a cross. And he realized that little Timmy was called to be with the Lord. So he went in and he comforted the parents. And they said, you know, Timmy was just the greatest kid. He was our little angel. His mother said, you know, on the night that he died, we kissed him goodnight and we went to bed. And when we woke up, he had passed. But Pastor, she said, it was really strange. When we found him, though, he was holding his fourth finger. Do you know what that's about? And as tears came to the pastor's eye, he explained what that was about. We know what that's about. The Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. That makes all the difference, doesn't it? He's your shepherd. He's my shepherd. He's our shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the door. We hear his voice. We follow him. And nothing, no one will snatch us from his hand. That's good news. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. You're the great God of creation. Want to have a relationship with us, to know us by name, to know the number of hairs on our head, to know every problem that we face, to know it intimately. And you respect us enough to call us into cooperation with you and your kingdom, to be a part of your flock, to follow you, our master, to bring good news of love to the world. Lord, help us to be wise as serpents, being aware of the wolves in sheep's clothes. Not to be naive, Lord, but loving and giving and gracious and turning the other cheek, because that's how you showed us we're supposed to live. Give us the grace to do that, to follow you in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.